Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, today I actually want to take you to a passage of scripture in John 10. There are a few verses that I want to kind of skip through. And so if you have your Bibles with you, then why don't you open them? And we're going to start reading from verse 2. It says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me." And verse 27 and 28 says, "My sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they will not perish. No one will snatch them from my hand." Perhaps the most profound thing about this passage of scripture we've just read is that every time Jesus made the "I am" statement, the Jewish listener knew that he was in fact referring to himself as God. They would have heard "I am" and immediately been taken back to the account in the Torah of God speaking to Moses, revealing himself as "I am who I am." When Jesus made these "I am" statements, he was claiming attributes of deity. He was identifying himself as God. Now, to the Jewish listener back then, this was blasphemy. But to us reading this today, this is a personal invitation to know Jesus, and specifically to know him by one of his personal attributes, our good shepherd. As our good shepherd, he wants to speak to us. He wants to lead us in all truth, and he wants each of us to hear what he is saying. Now, I'm not sure about you, but there have been times in my life when I have struggled to hear God's voice. The noise of everyday life has sometimes been so loud that it has drowned out the voice of the shepherd. The further away from him I found myself, the harder it has been for me to hear his voice clearly. The distance created may not be intentional. Sometimes we find ourselves far away because we simply haven't spent enough time in his presence. Sometimes the distance is caused because we've allowed other things to take priority in our lives. Or perhaps the distance has been caused because we've held ourselves up to unrealistic expectations. And when we fail to live up to them, we have deemed ourselves unworthy. There was one occasion in our family where distance and time spent apart resulted in a very familiar person's voice being very hard to understand. In 2007, for those of you who don't know, my little family and I, we all immigrated over to Perth from South Africa. My children, Jordan and Madison, were 7 and 1 at the time. Jordan had grown up hearing the voice of my father, and he knew it well. He understood everything his puppy said, and there wasn't a single word that he couldn't fully interpret. Maddie, however, hadn't had as much time to spend with my dad before we left South Africa. And even though we did these regular Skype sessions, who remembers Skype? I don't know, maybe not all of you. I remember Skype, okay? We did these regular Skype sessions, but you know what? Nothing quite made up for those face-to-face in-person conversations. So in 2008, my parents came over for their first visit, and there was great excitement in the house. But one thing became very clear very quickly. Maddie didn't really understand her puppy. She hadn't spent much time with him, and so she hadn't actually learned to interpret his voice and understand what he was saying. And there was one such occasion in the first few days where she walked into the kitchen, clutching something in her hands, and she just had this really confused look on her face. You see, her puppy had asked her to do something, but her lack of understanding, this familiar voice, meant that she actually didn't know what he was saying to her. And look, it was funny because it was such a simple thing that he had asked her to do. But it really made me think, as I was preparing this, about how someone so familiar can sound so unfamiliar when we don't spend enough time with them. Hearing the Good Shepherd's voice is actually no different. You see, the less time we spend with our Good Shepherd, the less we know and understand his voice. The less time we spend with him, the less we believe what he says about us. The greater the distance, the harder it is to understand his voice. You might be sitting here listening to me speak, and the first thought that is running through your head is, I shouldn't even be in church today. That is a lie. You might be listening to me speak and thinking, it's too late for me to change. Another lie. Or perhaps you're sitting here thinking, you don't understand. God is done talking to me. My friend, I want to tell you that that is a lie as well. And you know what? I can say this with confidence because I know what the word says about my good shepherd. John 10 tells me that he calls us by name, you and me. He calls us by name and we belong to him. He desires to walk ahead of us and lead us. He desires for us to experience life, freedom, and full satisfaction in him. Jesus is our good shepherd. He doesn't just want to speak to us, but he wants to lead us in all truth. He wants to shape us and define us. He wants to align every part of us with himself. If you're taking notes, the title of my message is The Shepherd's Voice. I want to look at three areas in our lives that I believe the shepherd's voice is speaking into. As a mother or a follower of Jesus, we need to hear the shepherd's voice. My first point is this. The shepherd's voice wants to affirm our identity. I'm not sure about any of you, but there is this little thing that we have to do here in Australia. The ATO, I think, was the one that set it up. But it's a voice recognition. And the line simply says, in Australia, my voice confirms my identity. Simple little line. And I think some of the major banks have actually taken this on as well. A little while ago, I had to do a bank transfer. And because it was, you know, not lining up with what I usually did, my bank asked me to do this. And as I said those words, I felt this real unease in my spirit. And so I kind of just sat for a while thinking about what I had just said. And as I did, God began to speak to me. He began almost questioning me and leading me down the thought of how many voices do we allow to not only confirm our identity, but affirm it as well. As children, many of us have listened to the voice of parents, family members, teachers, coaches. But then as we grow up, we've begun allowing other voices to speak into our lives and shape us, allowing those voices to affirm our identity. And unfortunately, though we can sometimes have good voices in our ears, we also sometimes give airtime to voices that have no place in our lives. No authority to define who we are, and yet too often we surrender to them without question. For some of you, it may be a painful season that shook you and possibly even shattered your world, and you have allowed the voice of that season to call you a failure. Maybe you lost someone you loved because of a bad choice you made, and the voice that has echoed to you ever since is, you're not worthy of being loved. Or perhaps there was a moment when you stood your ground when all your friends went the other way and they mocked you and they called you a loser, and that voice has stuck to you like bad gum to the sole of your shoe. I want to remind you today, none of these voices have the right to affirm your identity. They may sound real, but they're not the shepherd's voice. His voice affirms our identity. His voice reminds you that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High. His voice testifies that you are called and chosen. There's a passage of scripture in John 21 where Jesus actually has this moment where he reminds Peter who he is. Jesus has been resurrected and he is now meeting with his disciples on the beach and he's cooked them this delicious breakfast and then he begins to reaffirm to Peter his identity. Why don't you read with me from verse 15? When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said that to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." If there was anyone who had been through a season of making bad choices, saying the wrong thing, and honestly losing everything that he held dear, it was Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' beloved disciples. He was both zealous and impulsive, passionate and prone to doubt. It was Peter who cut off the ear of the soldier in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus. And it was that same passionate Peter that denied Jesus three times after Jesus had been arrested. Peter was a bit of a loose cannon. One minute he was ready to die with Jesus no matter the cost, and the next he was cursing others that said he even knew Jesus. I'm sure that all of the voices Peter were listening to were not affirming to him the identity that Jesus had once spoken to him. Jesus said, "Peter, the rock upon which my church will be built." But in this passage, we see Jesus begin to speak and realign Peter's identity with that God had spoken. Jesus affirms to Peter that he is a disciple. He is called and chosen. He is anointed to preach the good news and worthy of loving the sheep that Jesus had just given up his life for. Friends, you may have done or said a heap of things that you now feel define, confirm, and even affirm your identity. But I want to tell you today, the only one who affirms your identity is Jesus Christ. Why don't you turn to Romans 8:16? I love this passage of scripture. It says, "The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children." The writer of Romans is reminding us that it is God's Spirit that affirms our identity. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that now affirms to us we are God's children. That is something to get excited about. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's His Spirit that testifies this truth to us. When the voice of the accuser tries to lie and deceive us, God's truth reminds us who we are and who we belong to. You and I are God's children. Now that's an identity you can hold on to. My second point is this. The shepherd's voice leads us in abundance. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and life in abundance. John 10:10. When we allow the shepherd's voice to speak to us, he reminds us he didn't come into this world to condemn us, but rather to save us, to set us free, and to give us an abundant life in him. His voice doesn't tell us how unworthy we are. His voice doesn't keep us bound and in chains. Rather, his voice calls us out of slavery and into freedom. Time and time again in the Old Testament, we see how God's children found themselves in places of bondage and captivity. They made bad choices, turned their back on God, and became enslaved. And time again, God rescues them and sets them free. Why? Because his heart has always been for his children to live in freedom, the abundance that he has for them. Because of Jesus and the price he paid on the cross, because of his death and resurrection, we are now assured of this abundant life. We are assured of every promise that we read about in Psalm 23. Why don't you turn then? We'll read it together. From verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Whenever I read the scripture, the word "my" always jumps out at me. King David, the writer of this psalm, wasn't just generalizing what the shepherd was wanting to do, but rather he was personalizing it. Jesus is my shepherd, and he's your shepherd too. The good shepherd wants to lead us to a place of rest and refreshing. The waters King David speaks of aren't raging, but neither are they stagnant. They are fresh, they are still, and they invite us to a place of repose, a place of peace and tranquility. No matter the season we're in, when we choose to follow the voice of the shepherd, we can be confident that he will always lead us into his abundance. The storm may still rage, the enemy may still surround us, but even in the midst of it all, the table is prepared. It overflows with everything we need to be nourished, strengthened, and sustained. We can walk in peace, knowing that the shepherd's voice is always faithful, always trustworthy, and always leading us closer to his heart. As the band joins me, my final point is this. The shepherd's voice wants to lead us into all truth. What does the voice of truth sound like to you? For some, perhaps, it sounds like a voice that affirms all the decisions you make, even the ones you know are a little bit dodgy. Or maybe it sounds like a voice that encourages you to live anywhere you choose. Because you know what? If it makes you happy and it satisfies my flesh, then why not? Maybe for some of you, the voice of truth sounds judgmental and harsh, unkind and even cruel. Or worse yet, the voice of truth is so quiet that fear screams over the top of it. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Lead me by your truth. Teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you." This scripture affirms that God's truth sounds dependable, trustworthy, and eternal. His truth sounds like something that is going to shape me and protect me. His truth sounds like a sure foundation, a rock upon which I can stand and a rock upon which I can place my hope. That is the truth about God's truth. It is all these things and more. But if I never listen to the shepherd's voice, then I may never be led in the fullness of the truth that he has for me. When I was 30 weeks pregnant with my second baby, I actually went into prem labor. I spent 2 weeks in a hospital bed, and then I was sent home on strict bed rest and heaps of medication. When Maddie was born, she had pneumonia. And as soon as I'd given birth to her, they whisked her away from Bruce and I, and she was placed in the neonatal intensive care unit at the hospital. When Bruce and I finally got to go in and see her, The doctors didn't want to assure us of anything because they didn't have any answers to give us. They couldn't tell us if she was going to survive. And if she did survive, they couldn't tell us if there would be any lifelong illnesses she would battle with. Maddie was hooked up to all kinds of machines. And as a mom, it was the most heartbreaking thing to witness. Those first few days, I was a literal mess. I still am sometimes when I think about it. If I tell you that fear was loud, I'd be lying. It was screaming in my ear. It was the only voice I could hear. It drowned out every other truth I knew. But one evening, as I lay in my hospital bed, without my newborn next to me, I heard the still, small whisper. And immediately when I heard it, I thought of that account in 1 Kings 19. Elijah the prophet has just had this incredible battle that he's won against the prophets of Baal, and then he runs for his life, fearing what Queen Jezebel will do to him. And God takes him up onto a mountain. And as he stands there, God's voice is not in the earthquake. It's not in the fire. But his voice was actually in that still, small whisper. It was in that moment, that still, small whisper of my shepherd's voice in my hospital bed, that caused my faith to arise. I began declaring God's truth over our very real and very scary situation. I began standing on the truth of God and not the fear of my reality. The shepherd's voice led me in all truth. And just like we read in Psalm 25, it saved me from fear, and I put my hope in him once again. When we allow the shepherd's voice to lead us in all truth, we stop allowing fear to burn through our lives like wildfire. We become uncomfortable with simply living and believing everything we see and feel. We stop allowing our emotions to shape our truth. When we believe the truth of God's word, we go deeper in him, deeper into what the good shepherd is saying. The shepherd's voice affirms our identity. It leads us into an abundant life and the fullness of truth.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.